Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, depending upon where you are in the world. This is Walter Davis with Progress in the World Radio Show, coming to you from beautiful Canyon Lake, California, where we're expecting temperatures close to the three-digit mark here in Southern California. It's a beautiful morning with mountains and blue sky out here, and just a very, very hot heat wave coming in here for Father's Day. Today, once again, we have the privilege of having Dr. Carol, and we're going to be discussing part 7 of the book, Heal Your Life, 25 ways to unleash your innate healing powers by finding your purpose and connecting with a higher power. And today we're going to be discussing how to deal with disappointments and sorrow, a big topic for a lot of people considering some of the things that are happening in the world today. Dr. Carol is a OBGYN and primary care specialist and an intuitive and spiritual leader who has helped thousands of men and women for the past 4 decades. Her purpose in life is to educate as many people through telephone consultations, her writing, speaking engagements, podcasts, radio shows, etc. So, she has written many award-winning books, and there are more to come. And she's going to tell our listeners the reasons why she wrote this book and why this step is so important. If you can, join us in our chat room. And you can also call in if you're listening at 310-861-2349 to ask any type of questions. There's also a direct link in the description of this broadcast to Dr. Carol's website. Welcome to the show, Dr. Carol.
Good morning, and I have to say good morning from beautiful San Diego. We're going to have a beautiful day, sunny sky in the 70s, and I love living in San Diego. And go ahead.
I wish I had 70s up here. It's we're going to be in the hundreds.
Don't say hundreds. People would think you're going to be cooking, above 110 or something at the most. You mean to tell me it's that hot right now in June?
Well, we're expecting those types of temperatures right now in June. We have this heat wave coming in. Oh. It's something else. My electricity bill can be $1,000 here per month.
Oh, my, for keeping it cold. Oh, thank God I'm in San Diego. But anyway, I was thinking this morning when I got up, why am I doing this show? Why am I writing books? I was trained as an OBGYN. I don't practice OBGYN any longer. I consult with patients over the phone, and I go to a very busy clinic where I work on a part-time basis, and where I deal with patients with those patients, and they are depressed, they are having worried, they have insomnia. And we're talking people from all walks of life who, they're very, like in Southern California, people are very conscious of what they eat and organic and exercising. And but what is it undermining their health? In spite of all the good things they feel they're doing, people don't realize that. It's not what you eat. It's not the exercise. It's your spirit connection, is your mind, that, and the body follow those things. And something like being sad and I'm dealing with disappointment, the subject that we're doing today, and I felt it was very important that I include it in the book, because it's coming in September, is that just imagine you have a beautiful wall, and behind the wall, inside the wall, you have termites. Termites that are eating slowly those walls. So it's just like when you go and have, and if you're going to do remodeling in your house, and the contractor is going to tell you, I can give you an estimate. The reason they give you an estimate is because they are not sure what they're going to find when they destroy the walls. And sometimes you might have this beautiful wall. It happened to me once. I was doing some work in my house, and then I decided whether I changed it, whatever I had on the floor. And the gentleman came, and then he pulled the base. And when he pulled the base from that wall, he just took his hand, and there it was. There were... it seems that I've been in the house for years. They didn't connect well. They didn't connect in the shower, the base, and the water was just seeping through. And you should see the destruction. I had to change the whole wall, which ended up costing a lot of money. And this is what's happening to our health. We don't realize that those little things, that feeling depressed, isolation, and being isolated, after the loss of something, and anything that is happening around the world, and you take it at heart, this is what is undermining our health. Just like that wall, or if you have the water that wasn't connected properly, or if you have termite that invaded those walls and it's really destroying it. And in the surface, you can see, oh, it looks like a beautiful wall, and you can put a coat of paint. If I didn't decide to change that floor, that maybe I could afford it, and then at the time when we were doing the work, I would end up having more damage in the body into the house. And it's the same that's happening to the body, and it's just, you know, something that we're talking to this about, being disappointed, and which means something what can happen to you at work, with your children, in a relationship, or anything that's going to happen. And then those feelings, let's say if you have to go to disappoint, when you go, you're disappointed about something, you go to what it's called, it's the stages of grief. And the stages of grief are, you know, going into shock, oh my God, this is what's going on, and then denial, then anger, and sorrow. And this is the sorrow, this is what it is that is changing everything at a cellular level. And then the people I work with, or what I'm doing in the show today for those who are listening, is just like giving you some tools on how to deal with it, how the steps, what is the best way that you can deal with it so it doesn't undermine your health. Let's say you exercising and eating well and doing healthy, and then so it doesn't undermine your health. And I need to reiterate before we start that, if you're going through disappointment, you can be angry, and that's what people do. Part of the stage of the healing from this, it's going to anger, and then upset and hostility. Those are, and when you look at it, the pathophysiology, you know, this is the doctor talking now, the scientist is just like, when you look at the pathway. When you, in these moments, at the cellular level, you are, that cause, you know, people with obesity, you know, inability to lose weight, we're talking all the things that are working, like the little termite behind the wall, you're more likely to have diabetes, you're more likely to have high blood pressure, you're more likely to have your immune system be out of whack. And then that's where you're more likely to have the flu, and in the worst case, coming down with cancer. And you're more likely to have a stroke. You're more likely to have heart disease, kidney failure. Just imagine. So all the complications that from healthy, and this is aside from the emotional part of being sad and not able to sleep and being anxious. So, and then eventually, with time, dealing with all the consequences into the body.
So you're saying that by holding on to disappointments and the feelings that come along with that and sorrow and not managing those properly, you can manifest very serious diseases. So it's very important for us to find ways to manage those things properly.
Yes. Yes. And then the first way, and the thing is, like, friends, you know, people who means well, who can come and tell us, you know what, don't worry, everything will be okay. But it's just like those disappointments, when something happens unexpectedly, what is, you know, people will say everything will be okay. It's just like you, it takes some time to heal. Yes, it will. But then how do you move on? And so the one of the most important things is I have learned, when I look back at all the things that have happened to me, is that I had to believe whatever is happening at that moment, it's a lesson I'm supposed to learn. I had to believe that. One of the things that I wrote in the book, and I say, when, and this is the time when having the faith that you will be okay, that tomorrow will be a better day, is very important. And because I remember, I'll give you an example. For me, coming from Haiti, having to study in Mexico and the U.S. and Jamaica to be an OBGYN. Imagine that when I found out, you know, like life happened constantly and there were changes, and then I'm having difficulty practicing medicine I have the science, but I know when to heal. People just don't need the science. They also need the spirit and the mind. And imagine me going through all these years trying to fit into something that I don't belong to. One of the things that what sustained me, I knew one thing we discussed in one of the first chapter, first part of the book was, you know, having your life purpose. It's just like wherever I am in any situation that is not happening the way it's supposed to be, not only there is the lessons I have to learn, but there is a part of my life purpose. And because I have a purpose, I can continue. I have to find the strength. And sometimes it can be very difficult. I remember, how do you practice medicine when you learn what you want to do is the best to help your patients, and then you can't. You're in a situation that you can't do that. And so one of the things that I had to always had in mind that this was a lesson I had to learn, and I had to hang in there. I had to get in there because this is what I wanted to do, and I had to find a way to go and help. And I would not say and continue, not only helping myself, but continue to do what I was meant to be. Because it's not only sometimes you are in a situation that there is your bread and butter, there was all those things going on, and that's what you have hanging there. So I had, for example, we're talking just about my career, which is as a doctor, because remember we have, you know, relationships, we have the relationship with intimate partner and children, so we'll touch that separately. But then when it would come to my career and I realized, my God, I cannot work who I am and what I want to do, I cannot continue working this way. So I had to find different ways to continue for who I was, which is an OBGYN and a surgeon. Yes, I cannot do surgery, but how can I go and heal and continue doing what I want to do, what I wanted to do when I decided to go to medical school and invested a lot of time and energy and money? But I tried to find another way to continue doing the same thing that I started with, and which is one of this what we're doing today, this morning. It's just like educating and doing the same healing, but through education or through my writing or to speaking or and finding another way to deal with it.
So there's got to be a lot of heavy things that come in when you are a OBGYN, a surgeon. So many disappointments, so much fear. You must see, have seen a lot of those kinds of things in the line of work that you're in. Not to mention having to do such technical work and having to speak different languages and then deal with your own disappointments and sorrow in your own life at the same time. So you've learned some things.
Oh, yes. And then it's always knowing, hey, what are the lessons I'm supposed to be learning in this? What is going on today? How painful it is to be? How can I continue? How can I get up? I remember many times waking up you know, as a resident or as a student, and there was so much to do, how do you find the strength to continue? And how do you find the strength to be in a job where you feel that I never, luckily, I have never been in a situation that I had in a job where that I felt I was stuck and I had that I couldn't make a decision. So having in mind that where I am is where I'm supposed to be and finding another way out, so that's what kept me, my sanity, and being transformed from a surgeon to somebody who heals without a knife. Talking about career, I see a lot of patients who come and they were expecting a raise, or they've been working for many years in a job and they're doing well and they're expecting, okay, I'm going to be promoted. And then to find out somebody who is a new person coming and then get the job. And then a lot of people who you know, they have to deal with racism, they have to do with sexism. So it's just like, it doesn't matter how, when we're talking about work and career, is that, so it's at all levels. You could be the CEO, you could be, or you're not finding the right people to work with, or or you're working, you know, the CEO, but you're a regular worker, and then being passed by for a promotion because of your race. And I see a lot of people who have to deal with racism, or who have to do with sexism, or for their gender, or their sexual orientation. And so it's not only they have to deal with the, whatever is happening in their personal lives, but also what's happening, something that is called your bread and butter. So when many patients that I see, many people that I deal with, is with their career and their working career. What do I do? How do I continue? How do you find a way dealing with the situation to who I am? And many women over the years, they will come with bleeding and not sleeping and hot flashes, because as a doctor or as a consultant, they'll come to me with all these situations that are the emotional things that are happening in those particular situations and when it comes to their work, and how it's going to be affecting their own health. And many times they tell, oh, it's because you're menopausal, oh, it's because, you know, you're perimenopausal, your hormones and things. I say, no, it has nothing to do. And in making them understand and making them see that what is happening is that situation, and then how they have to deal with it. And each person is different. And each person, and then what I do is taking into consideration where they are and their own skills and their own perspective. And also, it might be more difficult if you have some savings or if you can afford not to work. You had a job that, you know, they pass you for a promotion, and you still have the same job, or you have somebody who just totally, your boss or a coworker who's totally making the situation very difficult for you. So I had somebody that I'm working with and said, I'm doing the best I can. And this person is an engineer. And he works for the city, and then for one city, not in San Diego, so we have to put anything personal. And where the person was in an accident and then have some limitation. So when the person has some limitation, and then it seems that the boss is just finding which way to say, you're not doing your job and everything. So I had to sit down and said, yes, now that you're sick, you have a disability, they're supposed to accommodate you. It's learning how to, when you're in this situation, what kind of resources that you have around you. Yes, you can, you're protected, because it wasn't a skiing accident. And so you're protected, and you can find, they have, you know, you're protected, they cannot fire you. So it's working in this particular situation because he was so devastated, and by knowing his rights, knowing what the person is to do and things you couldn't do. Because by finding yourself not only in a situation where you are sick, you have a job that has been doing for many years, and then not, your livelihood is in jeopardy. So it's not only as knowing what was the rights that you that he had to not being they could not fire him, and what he was supposed to do, and as well how he could be dealing with that situation at work, and we work with the whatever for that particular station what he was supposed to do, and those are I could talk in many cases until I have worked with that helped. When they call in many different situations, we need to talk about, let's say, in an intimate relationship. So this is very important. When you are in an intimate relationship and you found out that the person you are with is not the person you thought you had, or the person is cheating, or whatever it's happening. Any comments on that?
Well, certainly there's a lot of that going around, whereas you're disappointed with a relationship that you've been in. And I hear it so many times. I see so many people. And so it seems like almost epidemic. I mean, almost everyone that I meet is divorced, or their marriage is broken up, or their relationship has come to an end. So there's a real connection to what you're talking about. We can be dealt disappointment on so many different levels, from relationships to being passed over on our job to our intimate partners. There's a lot of opportunities for disappointment and sorrow, aren't there, Dr. Carol?
Oh, definitely. And then, so let's talk about this. What do you do? Let's talk about disappointment in an intimate relationship. And what do you do when you're in a relationship and then the honeymoon is over, or you've been married for many years, and there are so many things that can happen in an intimate relationship. You could be married for many years, and then you find yourself totally disconnected with that person. Doesn't mean that the person is cheating, or it's just like you've grown apart, or you're in a relationship and the person is cheating, or the person comes to you and says, "I'm leaving." And I remember when I was in private practice, I had a patient who was so hurt for years and years, and then I think she ended up dying of a broken heart. She could never get over it. And that's where when you hear people, the person was fine, the person has a heart attack, and then problem with their hearts, and then it's just sometimes it's a situation that is occurring in their life that their hearts are totally give up, and that's what I said in the beginning, and the sorrow, the pain, and how at the cellular level is going to start changing the physiology of the cells when you're dealing with it. So I'll give you an example. I met somebody in medical school, and we ended up getting married, and then only to find out that he was cheating on me. And we don't need to go into details, but horrible things bringing the woman in my house when I was away and doing an intern. I was at UCLA at the time, and in another city, and then to find that out, it's just like the most horrible things. I felt my heart died that day. But then when you have something that hurt you so deeply, because I remember my father used to cheat and separated from my mother. A lot of things happened to me because of that situation. And then the person whom I met and eventually married, and then knew how important it was for me. but the person knew that, loved me, and I didn't realize then you could love somebody and can cheat on that person. This is a cultural thing, or people do that, and that's what happened. And I was so heartbroken. I remember I found out I was doing my residency, and I couldn't sleep. It was so hard because, you know, you already have the hard work. Imagine you working very hard, hours and hours, and then now at home you have that situation. Where do you find the strength? I remember I couldn't sleep. I said, what am I going to do? So I remember at the time we had a doctor. It was a psychiatrist. For the resident, if something is wrong and you're having any problem, you could go. So I made an appointment. I was telling him what happened, and he said, you will be fine, but I can't sleep. But he said, you have to sleep. And I never forgot that. He said, you need to get the prescription. And I remember there was a medication called Dalmin. And I said, but I don't want to take the prescription because I heard, you know, when you take something to sleep, it's very difficult to function the next day. And then I can't, I have to function. And then he said to me, you know what, thing that you fill in the prescription and just have it. And then sometimes, and he was a very kind man when he knew what I was going through. And he said, you know what, sometimes just having the prescription and knowing that is that you can take it. And that's what I did because fortunately I have that personal strength that I can go and dig deep inside when things are tough. But so many people don't, and sometimes this is the time that you might have to take some kind of medication to help you. And, you know, and then this is the same, one of the things I cover in the chapters, when it's time for help. So I was detrimental so much into what was happening in my personal life, I couldn't do my work. I had to go to the doctor, and then he was we talk, but then we realized he couldn't sleep, and he could write me a prescription. Sometimes you can go to a psychologist, and somebody can talk to. But not too many people can afford that. So this is where prayers and connecting with God, and when to me is the secret of Jesus. And say, Jesus, help me, and pray and cry and using all the things in your momentum to help you overcome that grief and knowing that things will get better. But sometimes some people are in situation, they're dealing with it, and then they're dealing with the children, and they're dealing with, you know, it could be a very, very messy situation. But there are so many things that are out there that can help you get up and go and continue and waking up every morning. And that's what knowing what you're doing, knowing what is your life purpose, knowing that I was covered before, knowing what is it when I'm in this situation? What is it? What the lesson I'm supposed to learn? And how do I move on? So, and then also, with time I was able to heal, and finding the strength to say to that person, no, I cannot be in a relationship because the trust was gone at the time, but also at the same time. Not losing trust in mankind, not losing trust that just because somebody does something that everybody is the same. So we have to be very careful when we are in a situation where somebody disappoint us, so we don't generalize it, and then know that not everybody is the same, and it's just something we have to learn, something we're going to know that there's always somebody nicer, and then you cannot put a blank, you know, in a, you know, stroke at everybody is the same. Because then that's the fear, because then we become cynical. And that's what you have to be aware of. One of the things, like, that gentleman, you know, we were dealing with the problem with his work, and then what was going on with his work and his health at the same time, it's just that he had made a comment. And many times I hear people made a comment, because I am in this situation is because the person is a different race or a different gender, and then, or it's especially at work, maybe I'm discriminated against and everything, and I'm saying, you know what? What I find out, it happens everywhere. I guess because I deal with such a broad spectrum of patients to my consult or the clinic that I go to, it's, you know, it's not black and white and blue and green and Chinese and Asian. It's just like, it's just people. People, for whatever reason, whenever they don't have a sense of self, so, and they go somewhere and work, and then instead of making it better for other people, but they have so much, you know, their own issues, and then because they have a title, so they can transplant it or make other people life miserable because just they can. And then so that's where I tell, especially at work, is I deal a lot of with people who have issues with their health because of work, and having to even when you think of your boss, just send them love. Just don't be angry and send love to that particular person. And then also, it's just like if you're in a relationship and then you've been betrayed in a relationship, it could be very hard to forgive that person. You can continue being very angry. And it's even people think it's very difficult to do. You have to forgive the person. You decide to move on. But also when you think of that person, don't think about in anger and sending love to that person and hope the person does well. Because the more you give love and send love, the more you heal quicker. The quicker you heal.
That's very difficult, to send love to someone that has hurt you. But what you're saying is that in the long run, holding on to the resentment and disappointment and sorrow will cause you further damage. And that goes back, you know, to the saying that hate kills the hater, and those that hate us never win until we hate them, and that's when we destroy ourselves. And for those of you who have just joined us, my guest today is Dr. Carol Jomura, the author of the upcoming book, Heal Your Life, 25 Ways to Unleash Your Innate Healing Powers by Finding Your Purpose and Connecting with a Higher Power. And today, we're talking about how to deal with disappointments. And we're talking about why this step is so important. And I want to point out to you as well that she is a board-certified gynecologist and primary care specialist and an intuitive and spiritual healer who has helped thousands of men and women for the past four decades. So, Dr. Carol, I really want to thank you for being with us today, and I want to encourage those of you that are listening to come into our chat room, and you can also call in and ask any questions, 310-861-2349. Sorry to cut you off, Dr. Carol. I wanted to get that little spiel in there, and you wanted to respond to my statement about hate killing the hater.
Yes, and whenever somebody does something to you, and it's a normal step. It's a normal thing to do. You go through the grief. You go through the shock. You go through the pain. And I remember when I found out that my ex-husband has cheated on me, I really want him dead. He was a physician, and it seems that, you know, in the beginning you try to find a way what's going on in the person's lives and everything. Even though he said to me, I love you, I want to be with you, I want to be married with you. It means nothing to me. But I was upset, and I said, no, you cheated on me, and then it was the deal breaker. If you cheat, it's over. And then so it just, I remember even wanting to, I'm the one who kicked him out. It's just like, I want him dead. I really want him dead. And especially when I kicked him out, so what he did, he went to the woman and eventually married her. And it just, you can see the hurt and everything, so I want him dead. And I remember, and of course, we are on staff in the same hospital, and then it seems that, and I always find a way to know what's going on in his life, and I found out that he had to be in the hospital for some reason. And I said, oh my God, I wish he's going to die. And then I called him, and I say, it's me. And how come you're still alive? It was, I'm a little crazy or something. And then I said, and I found out he thought he was having a heart attack, but it was heartburn. You know, you have a heartburn and you think you're having a heart attack or something like that. And I said, I heard you were in the emergency room, and I was hoping that you would be dead. It's just like, so I talked to my grandmother. She said, you cannot do that. This is, the more hatred, the more you want him dead, you're killing yourself at the same time too. And I said to my patients, it's just like, you're just like drinking a poison, killing yourself, hoping the other person would die. So, and then it just like, at the time my grandmother was living with me, and then she was telling me, you cannot do that, you know. And he said, you still want to be married to you anyway, so you don't want to kick him out. And then, so I had to learn to forgive him. I had to learn to let go. I had to learn to say, what am I supposed to learn in this situation? So when you're going through it, when you're going through the disappointment, you don't see. The wound is open, and as a human being, we want revenge. We want revenge. But then, and it's in any situation, we want revenge. But then I had to learn how to forgive him. And then it took some time. I had to go to therapy. It was so hard. But imagine at the time, I'm here in San Diego. I'm new in San Diego. I'm alone. We've moved from Wisconsin. And so I had to find friends. I had to connecting. Thank God my grandmother came and lived with me. And she prayed. At the time, I wasn't praying. I didn't find that solace through prayers. And you know, I was like in early 30s and so. But I remember she prayed with me. She prayed for me. And she tell me, you have to let go. You can't. You can't. And then so with time. And then I remember, you know, that's been years ago. And then when I finally decided I had to let him go. And he had moved away, and then one day I saw him. And then I think that day, it was the most beautiful day for me, because when I saw him and I let him go in my heart, and at the time I met somebody else, and I'm married, I'm in a nice relationship. And then, so when I saw him, and I remember when I saw him, and at the time I had done therapy, I had been reading books and everything, how do you forgive, and how to see when you see the person who has hurt you, and to see them in the good old days, the fun we you had. And I remember he is an excellent physician, and at the years in the 70s where nobody was doing alternative medicine, he's the one who opened my eyes to different ways of doing medicine. And I remember seeing him, and we met in the hallway. I met him at the conference, at a medical conference, and that's what I saw. I saw that handsome person who swept me off my feet, who he was at the time, and all the positive things that he brought into my life. And I guess we, when we, our eyes, when we, our eyes crossed in that hallway, in that hotel, in that during the conference, and that's what we both saw. And I just ran to him and hugged him. And I said, I am so happy to see you. And that day, my life had changed for the better. That I was able to let go of the hurt, everything. And then now when I think of him, I think of him with the love. And when I think of him, I'm married afterward, twice afterward. But when I think of him, I always remember that those more beautiful moments. And he had taught me how to forgive. So one of the things, whenever you're in a situation, what are the lessons you're supposed to learn? Things, what I found out, you know, I'm in my 60s, so I've lived a long, beautiful life. When I think of about many things that have happened in my life where I was disappointed, when I think about them, they were all lessons. Who I am today is the accumulation of all these good and bad things, and I'm a lucky person. I have more good, a lot of wonderful, extraordinary things that happened in my life. And but those blips of disappointments, they made me who I am today, who about to understand others, that sometimes people do things, they don't do it to hurt you. It's just like what they know, the culture. And what I found out that there is no such thing as an evil person. There is no, you know, people say, I had a patient, and he said, it's me against the world. I said, no, you cannot think that way. You can see, and I remember I wrote an X on the piece of white paper and the page, and then I put in that X, I put in where they crossed, the line crossed, and I put a little circle around it, and I said, this is life. And I said, and then on that portion facing him, I put negative, negative, negative. On my portion facing me, I put positive, positive, positive. And I said, you see, it's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of you look at it. And I said to him, you see, you're looking at life, and it's just like everything is negative. And then everything, and then he would say, you see, whom do we have now as a president? He said, the world is going to chaos, and oh, blah, blah, blah. And I say, hold it, hold it. And then I said, this is you. You're looking at this way. Me, I show him my positive part of, you know, that X on my side. You see, this is how I see things. I see life in a positive light. And I see whatever is happening in the world as lessons that we have to learn every day. Not everything will happen that we want it to happen the way we want to. And I said, for one thing is, you know, if you say we don't like, you know, we have this president, and I said, imagine could be 4 years, and in the worst case scenario is 8 years, it will come to an end. This too shall pass. And all of these things also, I tell people, when you are in a situation, as bad as it looks, you have to remember it's temporary. It is temporary. It's going to make you better or it's going to kill you, so you choose. So you choose. And for our own survival, we choose. We choose that 5 years from now. And it's just like going in, you have your doctorate. Do you remember those years when you were in high school? They're like a blip in your life. Do you remember when you were in the elementary school? And do I remember when I was in college? Do I remember the hard time I had when I was doing my residency training? Or do I remember the pain, the suffering when I was going through the betrayal with my ex? They are just far away. And I've chosen to let it go, and I've chosen to see it as a part of my life, as a what has made me a better person today.
So that's quite profound in that you were able to see the positive in your ex-husband and see that he was a gifted doctor in terms of holistic medicine. And what I'm hearing you say here is to look at situations as just being temporary, that this is not a permanent situation in terms of our president or the suffering that you go through, the things that you deal with in high school and primary school seem so long ago. I remember bullies, and I remember struggling with tests and trying to get my grades done and working at night and thinking about how terrible it was. I remember throwing newspapers on a motorcycle in the snow and working hard to keep my grades up at the same time. So what I'm hearing you say is that the suffering that we're going through now, the disappointments that we have now, the sorrow that we have now, all of those things are temporary, and our way of managing it has to do with our perspective. Our culture reflects on some of the things that happen, and that people are not necessarily evil. They're not evil. They just have flaws, and those flaws can impact us. And by dwelling on the fact that they're evil people and they did this to me intentionally, et cetera, et cetera, we end up drinking the poison that we wish that they had. And by wishing that they had harm, we're actually harming ourselves. Is that an accurate assessment?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And this is why I continue writing. This is how I was talking this morning. And because those poisoned, like I said in the beginning, that are the termites that are destroying the walls of our lives. Those at the cellular level, doesn't matter how much you exercise, doesn't matter how much water you drink, how much organic food you eat. Those have nothing to do with your health and your future. And your future health and the capacity to eliminate these diseases, because when you are dealing with disappointment, you have your sadness, your grief, your sorrow. That was kill you. That's what killed you. And then being able to see this as a temporary situation, be able to see it as everything that is where you are today, tomorrow will be a better day. Like, these two shall pass. And I have a quote, and there is a quote, one of the situation, what I see is very common also, those who don't have a strong connection with a higher power and faith, it doesn't matter whether you're Jewish, whether you're Christian, whether you're Muslim, whether you're Zoroastrian or Buddhist, having that connection. The stronger you have that connection, that there is something bigger than you that's there for you. That whatever you're going through, it's to make you stronger. And in that chapter in the book, I have that quote that says, "For I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Jeremiah 29:11. And the other one, in Psalms 30:5, it says, "Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning." So that's what I tell people. When you're dealing with tough things, disappointment, betrayal, job loss, children, this is the time. Your faith, using your faith that you will be taken care of no matter what, that what is happening to you is only to make you stronger and able to pray, able to shed tears, able to let go, and the time to have friends, the time to do things, take time to pamper yourself, nurture yourself, is the time. Really finding time to yourself, using writing and all those other things that I cover in the book, and then we'll discuss in later shows and how to use them when you are dealing with negative things happening in your life and how to use all the momentum that is out there for you so you don't you can go through those, I call it those depths, you know, like life is, we have mountains and valleys and mountains and valleys. Otherwise, if it would be a flat line, like it would be boring. So it's part of life. It's how we deal with it, how we find the strength within us, how we reach for help in whichever ways that it can help alleviate, soothe the heart, alleviate the sorrow, and so make us continue and with life and eventually stop the undermining at the cellular level. That is the true, this is the true causes of diseases. It's not the exercise, it's not the what we drink or what we eat. It's inside, it's in our soul, it's in our mind. It's our able to find peace within and having the strength when the tough get going, then in how to find the strength to react to it. That's true. I call it the true healing. It's true. This is what we need that really keep us healthy, so our body doesn't disintegrate at the cellular level, and then for it, and then it's going to start from emotional symptoms, from I cannot sleep, I am anxious, or to having physical problems from heart disease and diabetes and high blood pressure and cancer and all those things. It's because this is what makes the body out of whack. This is the mind-body-spirit connection. This is really, truly what causes us to be sick when we don't deal with things like that's happening in our life every day.
So what I'm hearing you say is that holding on to these powerful emotions and not dealing with them appropriately causes damage to us on a cellular level. And that's deep, because I do ion cell cleansing. And so I'm very much aware of taking care of my body on that level. However, I'm going to have to really work on myself in order to get to what you're talking about in terms of forgiving people, even in the face of them doing things against us. Our time is almost up, and I really appreciate all of you joining us today that are listening. So we've been talking about part 7, about the heal your life and how to deal with disappointments. Any final suggestions for our listeners, Dr. Carroll, on how they can implement what we have discussed into their lives?
Let's say you're listening to the show today, and then, you know, ask yourself, what area of my life I am disappointed about? Could it be that you're going through a problem at work with your employee, with your or your boss? Usually, I've been dealing with somebody, your superior, a boss that is giving you a hard time, or with a spouse, an intimate partner, or children, or something in the community. So the idea, what I suggest, is that you said, which area of disappointment I'm dealing right now? And what I'm going to be, how am I going to deal with it? The other things will be, what have I learned from the past in situations, and how I'm going to implement it in my life situation at the moment. And putting it down and writing it down and see a step that you have to follow will make the, if you're in the middle of the disappointment, is going to make it clearer for you. Writing it down it gives you more perspective. And then knowing that this too shall pass, this is a temporary time, and if you cannot do it by yourself, find help. A lot of people that I help is just when they find themselves stuck against the wall, and they have so many situations, and they say, I don't know how to deal with it. So I do consults over the phone where people will, and I look at all the situations and give them the best recommendation, things they can work with that could help them in their situation. So find help. Take time for yourself. After a breakup, you feel so alone, so sad, so it's time to go get a massage. Put in a credit card. I don't recommend that you go and put things if you cannot spend it, you cannot do it. But maybe sometimes you have to find some time. But also it could be just take time for yourself, go for a walk. If you live by the beach, go by the beach. If you in the mountain, go for a walk in the mountain. Go somewhere. Take some time for you, especially if you're dealing with children. You have so many things, taking care of an elderly parent. So you have so many things going on. And find some time for yourself. And fortunately, if you belong to a church or synagogue or whomever, wherever you belong to, it's the time to go and be with other people spiritually and hear the message of hope, of tomorrow, and the time to sometimes when you're in the funk, it's time to go to a shelter. Give. The more you give, the more of yourself, the more you put yourself in situation where people are less fortunate. It looks, whatever you're going through looks so minimal. So those are the things I'm suggesting that people to do.
Okay, well, that's great information here. I heard you say that we should learn to give and look at other people's situations, be with other people, seek out spiritual connections with people, look at your spiritual beliefs, take a walk, go to the beach, go to the mountains, pamper yourself, take time for yourself, look for the lesson that's learned in the situation, and get help if you need. Don't do it by yourself, and understand that every situation is temporary. And you can also call Dr. Carol for a phone consultation on this situation. So we've had the great pleasure to have Dr. Carol Jean-Murat, the author of the upcoming book, Heal Your Life, 25 Ways to Unleash Your Innate Healing Powers by Finding Your Purpose and Connecting with a Higher Power. We've been discussing how to deal with disappointments. Dr. Carol is a board-certified OBGYN and primary care specialist and an intuitive and spiritual leader who has helped thousands of men and women for the past four decades. If you need a second opinion for a medical condition or surgery, or if you're stuck in any area of your personal life, relationship, or career and need answers that will empower you, visit her website at www.drcarol.com/services. Please share this link with your friends and family. And don't forget to join us next week for our next show at 8 o'clock on Pacific Wednesdays. Dr. Carol will discuss Part 8, How to Deal with Worries. So we're really hoping that you'll come back and join us next week. And Dr. Carol, we have about 60 seconds, and I just really want to show my gratitude for you for this wonderful section that you've discussed today.
Oh, you're very welcome. And we'll talk again next week.
Outstanding. So please share this on Twitter, Facebook, and Pinterest and your other social media networks. Just copy the link in the navigation bar and put it up for us. And that'll be a real great thing to do for your family and friends and constituents. And take it to heart. And by the way, you can go back and listen to the archive versions of the other shows that we have done over the past weeks. And look forward to more books coming from Dr. Carol. And this is Walter Davis coming to you from Canyon Lake, California. Thank you very much for joining us on Progress in the World.
everybody.